And my prayer is this evening that you will see something about giving that you have never seen before, that the Lord will just turn a light on in your heart, and you will see that in addition to what giving does for the recipient, giving is not primarily about the recipient. Giving is primarily about the giver and what God the Father wants to do through the life of those who give. I began giving long before I ever went to college, as a matter of fact. I can remember two or three pretty ill-fated attempts at giving while I was in college, and some that were really successful. I can tell you one that I thought initially was ill-fated, but which ultimately turned out to be successful. There were three or four of us who were in a singing group. I was playing banjo and guitar in a wire band, and we were traveling around and sort of trying to pay our way through school. And there was a young lady who was with us in this group, another student, and she was going to have to drop out of school because she didn't have enough for her tuition. And so the guys and I got together, and we said, hey, look, let's just, without her knowing it, let's just give that money. We'll go out here, we'll sing, we'll take the money we get, we'll give it. Instead of paying our tuition, we'll pay hers. Well, we did that for about a semester and a half, and one day I was asking her about how things were going with her tuition, just sort of, you know, wanting to find out. And she said, oh, you know something? She said, I hate this school. I want to drop out. Said, some stupid grandmother someplace is sending money into the student, into the academic office to make sure that my tuition is paid. If I ever find out who she is, I want to wring her neck because I want out of the school. That really made us feel good about our project. I really felt good about this project. However, by the way, she went on, she graduated from the school. And last year, I picked up an alumni magazine and saw that she and her husband had given a $200,000 gift to the school for a student tuition. So someplace along the way, she got the message that giving really is important. Now, I want to speak to you on the subject of giving. And I want you to look at a passage of Scripture, if you will, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want you to, when Max said, come speak to us on the subject of giving, my mind just raced because, you know, being a preacher, I got a lot of messages on giving. And where do you attack this issue with a student group? And so I want to speak on what I believe is the essential element of giving. I mean, it is the essential element of giving. And if I was going to give this a subtitle this evening, it would be how to get in the express lane to God's love. How to get in the express lane to God's love. Now, I know you've heard this illustration before. If we were to take a sheet of paper, draw a line right down the middle of the sheet of paper, and on one side we're going to list all the things that you did in the last 7 days that made God love you less, and on this side of the paper we're going to write down all the things that you did this last week that made God love you more, then I would ask you the question, what would you have on the paper? Of course, you know the answer is nothing. Because nothing you did made God love you less, and nothing you did made God love you more. God loves you. God has an unconditional love for you. Now, that's true. You can't earn God's love. But there are some things that we do which energize or evoke the love of God. And giving happens to be one of them. Let me give you an illustration. I love my wife. Y'all, a bunch of you know Jeannie. And life is a hoot for us. We got 14 grandkids. Y'all like my short haircut? Is this neat? They had two for the price of one, and I got both of them. We're leaving for Hawaii on Monday, and so I got my annual Hawaii haircut. Anyway, she kids me about this and about everything else in life. I mean, she makes life fun. My wife is an incredibly giving person. And sometimes she thinks that you know, there's these projects out here that she wants to get involved in. But she's always looking for ways that she can give. Now, I love her. But when I'm sitting at a desk, for instance, and I'm working away at, you know, studying or working on my income tax or something like that, all of a sudden she shows up at the study and she's got a cup of hot chocolate. That doesn't make me love her more, but it energizes my love for her. It evokes love when she does that. You got the picture? Or when she, for instance, she said to me recently, she said, you know, she talked about a staff member, a lady in our church, and she said, you know, I'm just going to go out. I'm going to buy her a new dress. She just needs a new dress to wear to church, and I'm just going to do that. You know what that may, you know, that doesn't make me love my wife more, but you know what I did? I went out and bought her a dress, and now that I'm saying this thing, I'm wondering if maybe that's a trick that she's been, you know, I'm going to have to go home and talk to her about this. But do you get what I say? I'm saying? You're not going to do something that's going to make God love you more or love you less, but there is something you can do which energizes, excites, or evokes the love of God toward you. And if you don't believe that, in this passage of Scripture we're going to look at, it says, God loves a cheerful giver. And somebody says, well, He also accepts from a grouch. Well, I'm not so sure. God does love a cheerful giver. Let me read this passage of Scripture, because it tells you and me how we can be cheerful givers. Anybody know what the Greek word in the New Testament here that is translated cheerful, what word in our English language it sounds like? The word hilarious. In fact, it's the word hilaroth. And we get our word hilarious from it. It means unrestrained joy. It means exuberant. God loves someone who gives exuberant, who's caught onto the secret of giving. The tragedy is that most of us, and I'm going to say this over and over again, most of us think that giving is just about the recipient. We forget that giving is also about the giver. Who does the God love? It doesn't say God loves the poor recipient who got the money. Well, He does. But here it says God also loves the cheerful, the exuberant, the happy, the unashamed, the person who just without restraint is extravagant. God loves the cheerful giver. Most of us, unfortunately, think that's something we do when we grow up. Get out in the world. Get a job. That's where we start that, because then, you know, we got to have resources. And then we can start giving. Well, the truth of the matter is, you and I can give tonight. You could have been given all your life. I remember when I was in high school, there was a girl by the name of Judy Lyons in the church that I was attending. And her mother came, my father went to her mother and said to her one day, he said, your daughter is incredible. She's a high school girl, and every week she is so faithful with her giving. It's not a whole lot, and she's so faithful with her giving. She must have a job, and this must be her tithe or whatever. And her mother just shook her head and said, she don't have a job. I have no idea where she gets any money. Come to find out, she had been riding the bus to school, the public bus to school, but she was walking home and saving the money from walking home so she could give it at church. And I have watched what's happened to that lady's life and her husband and her family over the years. It's incredible. She learned the secret of giving in high school. You can learn the secret of giving tonight. I mean, this evening can bring a real spiritual revival and mark a turning point in your life if you just catch on to this principle. Let me say it again. Giving is not just about the recipient. Giving has a lot to do with the giver. It's what you're giving. It's where it brings you before God. You see, if you don't give, the truth of the matter is, God has a word for people who don't even tithe. By the way, tithing is not necessarily giving. The tithe's already the Lord's. That'd be like you calling your house payment or your dorm rent a gift. You know, you say, well, that's a gift to the bank. No, they say, no, you owe that to us. Well, the Bible says the tithe, tithemi, it means the set off first, set aside 10% off the top. That's the Lord's. Giving is something you do above and beyond the tithe, as a matter of fact. I mean, tithing, that's just normal. And the Bible says if you do that, God will open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive. Not only that, He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, the Scripture says. And all the nations will call you blessed. And the word there for blessing is different from the earlier word blessing. There the word means all the nations of the world will call you disciplined and honored because of it. Boy, that is incredible. That is an incredible statement. And so when we learn how to give, man, when we learn how to do this, it is incredible. And by the way, God gave tithes in the church so that men would get under the Word of God, hear the preaching of God, and so every week we could acknowledge that God's in charge of our finances. And then He brings along these special opportunities to give so that we can get into different levels of His economy, you see. And these are incredible opportunities, like the opportunity He gave for them to build the tabernacle of the wilderness. He said, I want the resources. He said, everyone from a willing heart And so there obviously were some who weren't from willing heart. And later when that tabernacle, you know, they got up and said, we got enough and a more than enough offering. Let's quit giving because we can build it. And that's a pretty neat statement right there. And so they built it. Wouldn't it be something Max got, hey, we're already funded. Don't give any more. Whatever you do, do not give. It was just in the way. Has he ever said that here? I don't think he said that. But he would if we practice giving. If we practice the principle I'm talking about right now. All of your student ministries would be funded. Your trips would be funded. You would be funding each other to an extent that you would not even believe. I mean, I know you do that to some extent now. You wouldn't believe what would happen if you personally catch on to this truth. It's not just about the recipient. You say, well, I need money. No, it's about the giver. That's where it starts. So let me read this scripture to you. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's verse 6. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. All right, that puts you on the fast lane. That puts you on the express lane to God's love. Cheerful giving. And God is able to make all, look at the alls and everys and all sufficiency here. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Well, how can you become a cheerful giver? Wouldn't it be something if before this semester was over, in some way, every person in this room had established a reputation for being a God-directed, cheerful giver? Would that be something with folks on your floor in your dorm said, I'll tell you this, you know, I mean, that's the most generous person I've ever been around. I'll tell you this about that guy, you know, he's poor as a church mouse, but man, I mean, the guy just, he's the most giving person. What he's got is yours. Well, I'll tell you this about them. I don't know how they did it, but they got together. I don't know what happened to those people, but they provided the following. It's incredible what they do, how they give. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, let me ask you this question. What other reputation do you want to have? Do you want to have this reputation? I'll tell you this, he's got the only dollar he ever had. I'll tell you this, he's the biggest gripe. I'll tell you this, every time you're around him, you're the one that's paying. You're the one that's giving. I'll tell you this, he thinks God owes him a living. I'll tell you this, he's a crook. See, God doesn't want us to be crooks. Somebody said, God demands from every crook much more than the worth of what he took. He only thought he got away, but in the end, he'll pay. Yeah, see? And wouldn't it be something? And you could. Did you know there's something? Not one person in this room needs to end this semester without being known. And then the goal is not being having, you know, the goal is not to go out and say, hey, put them on my door here, I am a giver. That's not it. Most givers don't advertise it, but somehow other people get the message that God's doing something in your life that's causing you to become generous. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Can you imagine what would happen just in this room, what would happen if every dorm, every floor, every Bible study, every frat house, you know, got the message, hey, not he's an easy touch, he's stupid, a fool and his money are soon parted. Now, that gal, I want to tell you something. In very special ways, very special moments, in ways that really blessed me and turned me toward Jesus, at that moment, he gave. She gave. And if you don't do that, that's your fault. Because, see, you can be an hilarious giver. And God loves an exuberant, cheerful giver. How do you do that? Let me give you three statements here. All right, first of all, you got to give with confidence. You got to give with confidence is the word there. What's the confidence? Well, the confidence is in the law of the harvest. Look at this, verse 6. This I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Did you know that this is sort of in the, at least early on, it was sort of in the psyche of this nation. I think it's one of the reasons we have become what many people call the breadbasket of the world. Because farmers have got enough sense to know that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And so you see at harvest time every year, you see these grain bins that are filled, and then they're dumping grain on the ground out here. That wasn't because some farmer said, I got a kernel of corn here. I could eat this thing, and if I don't, I'm going to go hungry. Or I could put it in the ground. But if I put it in the ground, man, what's going to happen to that thing? It's out of sight. I don't know what's going to happen to it. It goes months down there, and I won't even know, and it could rot, and the elements, and it's outside, and I can't go out there and check on it all the time. I don't know whether I want to do that. But he's got confidence that there's a principle at work here. In fact, he looks at a seed. He doesn't see another seed. He sees another stalk that has ears that have seeds. In fact, when he looks at a basket of seed, he sees a field of corn. Why? Because he's got confidence that if he sows sparingly, he's going to reap sparingly. He doesn't want to do that. But if he sows bountifully, he's going to reap bountifully. And you and I we've got to learn to give with confidence. See, most people say, man, if I gave this would be my last dollar. If I gave this, I couldn't go to the Burger King. If I gave this, we would have to go to the Burger King on a date instead of, Chilino's or someplace else. By the way, Burger King's not a bad place to eat. Double cheese Whopper with fries and a strawberry shake is pretty good. But see, what most people do is they don't look at the dollar and see what it can do for God. They look at the dollar and think just what a dollar might do if they spend it their way instead of trusting it to God. And see, when you're giving, you're doing what? You're trusting it to God. You're giving that to God. You say, well, no, I'm giving that guy or that gal or whatever. Hey, no, wait a minute. Your giving needs to be that with confidence in God, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God says if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Let me give you one really quick illustration. I'm just going to speed through this, man. I'm out of time. But let me just give you one neat illustration. Some years ago, a friend of mine was a missionary in the Gokwe area of southern Africa. And was in Rhodesia then, Zimbabwe now. And I've been up there many times. We were missionaries down the southern part of that country. And earlier, he had been up the northern part of that country. The country's always going through a drought. It's going through a drought now much, but a lot of other problems as well. And so they were having a drought, and they began to pray, man, Lord, we have just got to have rain. I mean, everything's dying. And the riverbeds were dry. And then they'd go down and dig holes, and even the holes got where they wouldn't fill up with water. And it got to be terrible. And so the witch doctor out there in the Gokwe area near Sanyati, Sitsami, Goridamo, Sinchimbo, all those areas, they had a big deal, and they were going to do the witch doctor thing and get rain. And so they peed on their drums, and they pounded, and they drove everybody berserk, and no rain. And so my friend, Bud Frey, Bud gets a bunch of his guys, and he says, okay, let's have a prayer meeting. And they all laugh at him. And they said, no, we're going to have a prayer meeting. So they call everybody together, and they said, okay, Lord, well, we're going to pray for rain. But the Lord stopped him. He said, oh, wait a minute, why pray for rain unless it's going to work a change in your life? I just want to give a rain for the ground. This is about you. And so he said to them, he said, look, if it rains, I've got some pumpkin seed in here, and I'll give you the pumpkin seed if you will promise to give one-tenth of all that you get from it back to this little church here. And, oh, you know, can't do that, man. We're hardly going to get anything, and we might even eat the seed. I mean, he said, okay, I'm not going to do it. Well, okay, Funis, if you this is it. You will pray for rain. So they prayed for rain. And they, on the third day, they had their face in the ground. Man, they were praying for rain. All of a sudden, he felt raindrops on the back of his head. It was incredible. I mean, God sent a deluge. He gets up, he runs into his house, and he comes out and says, got a pumpkin seed right here, pumpkin seed. Not pumpkin, I don't think. That wasn't even the word there. But anyway, so he distributes it, and he said, now look, you got to give 10% of that. You got to bring tithe back to the church. Oh, we can't. We'll start. Well, don't take it unless you're going to pledge that you're going to do that. He said, okay, we pledge. They went out and they planted this pumpkin seed. This stuff grew like crazy. I mean, there were pumpkins. I mean, they're incredible. They started bringing them, started stacking them up. And finally, the pumpkins got up to the roof all the way around the church. And so now, you got a bunch of rotting pumpkins. What do you do with this? And so he says, okay, you've given them. We got to think about this. Is there anybody else that hasn't been blessed like this? They said, well, Goridamo, Sinchimbu, and Nanyunga. They have not been blessed like this. They didn't get the rains for some reason. Okay, they got these wheelbarrows, and they started taking these pumpkins to these different churches. or different people, as opposed, there weren't any churches in the area at the time, different people. And the people said, what are you doing? They said, well, we got so much over here. We just want to, you know, bless you with all this abundance. Those people were so impressed by that that the end result was a bunch of them got saved, and now we do have churches in those areas. Why? Because they decided to sow what? Bountifully. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You say, I can't afford to do that. I can't give. If I gave, you know I can give a dollar, but if I gave two, it would take faith. Good, do it. Give with confidence. Sow bountifully. It's not going to hurt you. I know you think it is. Sow bountifully. What's going to happen? You're going to reap bountifully because it's not about the recipient. It's about you. It's about you. All right, here's the second principle real quickly. You've got to give with consideration. You've got to give with consideration. That means you don't just do something stupid. Although I've done a lot of stupid things. I mean, I figure if they can live with it, I can live without it. Some things I don't do, though. Just because I think it's real stupid. But notice what he says here. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. You know what happens? I'll tell you what's going to happen tonight, or maybe the next time y'all take an offering. I don't know if y'all take offerings here, Max? You know? Okay. I mean, never. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, quietly. What do you charge dues? They have to pay an initiation fee? Okay. If you ever did, let me tell you what happens in most churches. In the first place, they treat the offering plate like it's made out of hot metal. That's the first thing. Because they don't know. Giving's about them. It's not about the church. It's not about... They're thinking, well, the lights are on, the air conditioning's on. I got what I want. Didn't like the preacher anyway, and it wasn't worth a dime. So I'm not giving anything. So, I'm, you know. So they treat it like that. I'm going to go eat after church. I don't want to eat at Burger King. I want to eat Chileno. So we're going to... All right. But here's the worst thing that happens is... Somebody's sitting here talking to his friend. Offering plate comes down. Never even thinks about it. Oh, yeah. No thought to it. No thought to it. God said, that's not cheerful giving. Cheerful giving is giving with consideration. Requires the cranium. Requires some thinking up here. Are you with me here? Every man according as he purposes in his own heart. In other words, he's got to sit down and think about this. By the way, he says, make sure that you don't give grudgingly. Giving grudgingly is what happens when you give with a view toward how the recipient's going to handle your money. Or your gift. My wife and I have had the privilege of giving away several automobiles. We don't have one right now, so don't come to me after the service, okay? But we've given away, over the years, several automobiles. And one time, I had this wonderful 1967 Chevrolet. Oh, it's beautiful. Man, that was a great car. I looked good in it. That was the best thing about it. I just the coolest vehicle. And the Lord put it on our heart. There was a family in our church, and they needed it worse than we did. And Gene and I prayed about it. I said, well, let's just give it to them. And I said, they won't take care of it. They're sort of like the Herdman family. I mean, these people, they'll just destroy that car. And, you look at them. They get out of the bathtub looking dirty. And I mean, just, you know, I said, they won't, this is my beautiful car. I mean, I never saw that, but they would, I'm sure. Okay. So, you know, I gave it. Next week. I mean, I walk by that car, there's a dent in the bumper. It looks like the guy had a huge, maybe a drill press or something in his back pocket. His seat was torn. I said, see there. Then Jean said, who'd you give that to? I said, well, I gave it to them. She said, that was a problem. She said, you need to give it to God. And she said, you need to give it, not grudgingly. Ooh. She said, that's with a view toward the recipient. You're giving to God. God's told you, give this. You give it, not grudgingly. And by the way, he says, nor of necessity. That means under pressure. Come on. I've given five. You got to give five. We're all doing this. Well, I don't want to do it. Well, we're doing it, and you're not going to be one of us unless you do it. You will not be spiritual unless we see money in our hand right here. Give this. No, not or of necessity. You got to consider this. Okay, where is what I'm about to do going to leave me in my relationship with God? That's the question. That's what your consideration is. Where is this going to leave me in my relationship with God? We're talking about the express lane to God's love. He's not going to love you more. It's going to excite. It's going to energize His love. It's going to put you in a position for God to bless you bountifully. Hey, could I just tell you something? How many here would say, Brother Tom, you're not preaching to the right people. We are students, and I'll be honest, in terms of my own finances, I'm a little strapped. If you say that, raise your hand. Be honest. Come on, raise your hand. I'm a little strapped. Oh, come on. What do we got? What is this, millionaire row here? Come on, I'm a little strapped. I really don't have... Raise it up high. Let me just... Okay, oh, come on now. Come on, I'm a little strapped. Okay. Okay, now, I hate to say this, because after all, I've worked hard to get you to raise your hand. You know how much you got? You got what God can trust you with. What you're operating with right now is exactly what God can trust you with. That's right. Because it's not about the recipient, it's about the giver. Because the Bible says, if you are proven faithful in little, He'll give you the privilege of being faithful in a lot. So what you have is what you can be trusted with. You got what you can handle. You say, boy, I could handle a whole lot more. No, you couldn't, or God would give it to you. Right? See, what you could handle and what you need, now you may need a lot more, but that's not what you could handle. If He gave it to you, you wouldn't put it where it was needed. So He didn't give it to you. Now, I didn't mean to embarrass you. I'm not, you know, because all of us get strapped. I was strapped all the way through school, you know. So, obviously, I couldn't handle as much as I thought I was capable of handling. Give with consideration. Let me just mention this last thing. I'm just going to zip through this. Give with contentment. Contentment. Verse 8. Contentment in what? Content that you really, if you are a child of God, are operating out of unlimited resources. You're not operating out of your pocketbook. You're operating out of His. You really are. Do you know that? If you could catch on to this, you say, that's a bunch of baloney, Tom. No, it's not. If you could catch on to that in college, listen, it would revolutionize your life. Contentment that you're operating out of His pocketbook. Because what does it say? God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So everything that comes along that God wants you to be a part of, He'll provide resources for that. And you just give with content. Lord, I'm just content. I know this. I know this. Who's this money belong to anyway? Let me ask you, anything that you have, who's it belong to? What does the psalmist say? The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. God owns everything, I own nothing. I mean, that's a basic principle of finance, right? What has God made me? God has made me a steward, an overseer. A steward has to give an account. One day you're going to give an account. One day I'm going to give an account for how I handle all this stuff He put in my life. All of it. The time, the ability, the opportunities, and the money. And the other stuff. He's going to bring me to account about that. So what I want to do, I want to learn how to be a good steward. Well, what kind of a steward really excites God? A cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Because, see, it's really not... See, it's not so much about the recipient as you think. We think, well... And this is where the, you know, TV programs and everything come. Oh, man, if we could just show one more skinny person and there are needs in this world. Listen, friends, I watch that and weep. And I give. And I go. And I send people. And I help people to go. Because I believe people have needs. But you know something? If you're not careful, you'll get into the habit of only giving if somebody can paint a bad enough picture to stir your emotions. And that's what the average person in the world does. Even the average Christian, they say, well, you know, if you tell me a big enough story, I gave everything I had. Well, praise the Lord. What about the week before? Well, I didn't see any poor people. Well, what did you give to them? That's one reason why God wants us to be involved in tithes in our church and offerings. But He wants us as individuals, right here, right in this ministry, right in your life. He wants to bless you. God loves a cheerful giver. I wonder how many people really will make an effort to do that. You could listen to this service like you give offering. Or you can say, you know, whoa, wait a minute, stop that plate. Let me look in here, because in that plate there's a mirror. And that mirror is a reflection of my heart. My offering pictures what my heart looks like to God. Do I have confidence in Him? Have I thought about this? Am I content to believe that as I give according to His direction, He's going to provide everything I need to do everything He wants me to do? Am I content to believe that? If I am, then exuberantly, joyfully, without my conscience accusing me, able to look God right in the face, I can say, God, I'm a cheerful giver. And God loves a cheerful giver. I could share a lot of things with you that would revolutionize your life. If you can learn this secret at this moment in your life, it will do more as a believer than anything I know to change your usefulness to God. Because when you give, you are positioning yourself before God. You're saying, Lord, I'm giving this because I trust You. And by the way, just be sure that there's one word you don't use if there are some things you still can do. If after you've given, you can still wear the same clothes, eat the same food, drive the same car, live in the same house, enjoy the same things, now don't call that a sacrifice. You haven't really given sacrificially until something changes in your lifestyle. Wouldn't it be incredible if God looked on this room and saw in the heart of every person here there was a willingness to go through an absolute change of lifestyle so that you could position yourself to be mightily used of God. God loves a cheerful giver. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank You that the big example here is our Lord Jesus. You so loved us that You sent Your only begotten Son. You gave Your only begotten Son. And Lord Jesus, You took it upon Yourself to give Your life on the cross of Calvary so that we could have eternal life. Father, You are the prime example of giving. And Lord, I realize there are probably people here this very evening who would have to say quite honestly, I don't know for sure if I died I'd even go to heaven, but I sure want to know that. Do you know something? That's something you could settle tonight before you left. As a matter of fact, I'd just like to pray for you. I'm not going to call your name or point you out or anything like that. But if there are people here this evening, I'm sure there probably are, who really the one big thing you need to settle is not the giving issue. The one thing you need to settle is whether you've ever even given your life to Christ and trusted Him as your Savior, whether you have His peace and purpose in your life. If you'd say, that's a big question in my life, and I'm really struggling with that, just pray for me. Just at the other end of this hand is an arm attached to my heart, and I'm still struggling with some things. Just pray for me. Would you just raise your hand while nobody's looking around? Just raise your hand way up high and just say, look, pray for me. I haven't got it settled yet. Okay, thanks. Any others? All right, anybody else? Okay. All right, thanks. And I'm going to ask those who raised your hand, would you stick around, just, you know, say to Max or any of the team here or a friend of you, look, I'm really struggling with this issue of eternal life. Would you talk with me about it? Father, I just want to thank You for giving us this privilege here tonight. And I pray that tonight there would be some who would purpose in their heart to become cheerful givers. And it'll take a little drill here, a little getting used to, but I pray they would do that. By the way, if that's something you would do, would you raise your hand right now? I want a purpose in my heart to be a cheerful giver. Would you raise your hand way up high? Tonight, in this place, I'm doing that. You know, to revolutionize your life. Oh, my. Amen. And Father, these who raise their hand, I know You have Your way of working with us. But Lord, I pray You'd hold their feet to the fire. Because, Lord, it's all for our good. It's a way of positioning ourselves for Your bounty so that we can become even more instrumental in helping more and seeing Your kingdom expand even more. It's not about what we get. It's about, Lord, what we allow to be channeled through us, funneled through us to Your kingdom's glory. And I pray we'd see that, Lord, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.